let us praise the Lord for what he is doing presently in our assembly. Give him a very sound, heavy praise. Praise the Lord. Let us praise the Lord for what he did. Even last week, tremendous testimonies came that is beyond even our understanding. Please give praises to God. When I say praise the Lord, we go. One, two, praise the Lord. He's coming here presently today, and he's going to move from person to person. It's the promise that he has said. And his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Certainly his word will not change. Let us praise the Lord. Praise the Lord! For what he's going to do henceforth as we step into the new season of next week. Let us praise the Lord for it. Praise the Lord! Thank you, everyone. I have the greetings from our pastor, who is currently away with his wife, dearly beloved wife, on vacation, as you know. We pray good health and invigoration for them. We pray that they will return with energy and motivation to continue to lead us. Let us quickly pray to start our ministration. In Jesus' name, Almighty God, the maker of life, the one who has done great things beyond our understanding, the one who has promised that he will do great things, the one who has come by himself, not by my eloquence or by my words, but is going to speak his words, the words of the Spirit of God. Father God of heaven, we thank you. Let us understand. Let us understand the word you speak. Let it speak to us. Let us be able to be beneficial to us. Let your word transform us. Let your word transform our family. Father, we are thanking you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. We are going to speak on the theme of the week, of the month. And that theme is very, very important. Looking unto Jesus. That theme is when you look unto Jesus, is a connection to the cross. And the cross is the center of our faith. So we are going to speak to looking unto Jesus, how it connects us to the cross. The cross is wisdom. Is the reservoir of wisdom. When you say the cross, because it is written that if the prince of the world, if they knew, they would not have crucified Jesus Christ. It's the wisdom that went beyond everyone. And the wisest men cannot understand. God has chosen to put his wisdom inside the cross. Why are we connecting? It's for our blessing. We have to connect to that blessing. Wisdom is the principal thing. We are going to connect to the cross because that is where power is. There's no power elsewhere. No power elsewhere. None whatsoever. When we talk of the power of the cross. So, the power that came through the cross is part of the blessings we have to harvest. When we talk of the cross, that is the place where transformation takes place. The cross, through Christ, it transforms sickness into health.
For he took away our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses on the cross. That is what he did. It is on the cross that we can have righteousness. There was no righteousness before the cross. And there is no righteousness even now to those who do not connect to the cross. He said he bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we die to sin and we live to righteousness. I think 1 Peter 2:24. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we die to sin and we live to righteousness. Without righteousness, there is no pathway to life. Proverbs say, righteousness is the pathway to life. In that pathway, there is no death. Connect to that path. It is on the cross that shame was taken away. There was shame and ridicule, condemnation, even from God to humanity before the cross. Anti-present day for those who don't know the cross. He said there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ. Romans 8:1. No condemnation for us again who are in Christ. Who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. Connect. It's looking unto Christ we can connect. You know, Apostle Paul said something very, very profound. He said, when I am with you, I have resolved, I have decided that I know nothing except Jesus Christ and what? And his crucifixion. 1 Corinthians 2:2. The cross is so profound. He said, when I'm with you, I have resolved. I don't want to know any other thing because of the power and the blessings. You have to connect. So, the point I am making is that the cross is the gateway, the blessings of the cross is the gateway to our prosperity. The blessings of the cross is the pathway to solutions, even to present challenges. Not the challenges of old. It can fix the challenges of old. It can fix the challenges of the future. But the present challenges. Look at Galatians 1:4. To tell you it works in the present. Galatians 1:4. He said, for Jesus Christ, as he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins. To rescue us from the present evil age. He gave himself for our sins. That he might deliver us, rescue us from the present evil age. According to God our Father, according to his will, and glory shall be to him now and forever. That is very profound. That is very, very profound. It's for the present challenges. Whatever you face, the cross can fix it. When you tap to the blessings. Whatever. Because the wisdom was the basis of the cross. It has envisaged every challenge that somebody may have in life. It envisaged it. It anticipated it. So, you know that as we preach this message, The Bible says, as we preach this message is foolishness to those that are what? That are perishing. But for those of us that have been saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the power. Seek power nowhere. The cross is the power. The cross is the power. We were going to bury my father 10 years ago. 10 years. It will be 10 years. Very soon in January. I'm going to bury him. And an elderly respected chief in our community in Nijebu called me the night. An elderly man, very respected. He said he's related to the family. He said, look, Benga. I said, sir. He said, many people are coming to that place. He said, I'm sure there are not even hundreds. I said, you are right, sir. I said, they can be going to thousands. He said, the place must not be destroyed by rain. Let us hold the rain. Let us do what? Hold the rain. Around 11 in the night. But I knew immediately that my focus is going to change. I will not be looking unto Jesus again, but I'll be looking unto the rain holder. I said, we will talk in the morning, but don't let us do that. And I dropped the phone because I would usually respect elders. I said, don't let us do that. Because who is the rainmaker? Who is the creator of the rain? It's God. He just needs you to focus on him so that you can harvest that blessing. The day went perfectly. Even understand that the angels were coming to rejoice with us on that day. Everywhere was peaceful, excellently peaceful, and joy pervaded the place. That was the vestiges. How do I put it? The things that we inherit from Adam and Eve. That is what people inherit from Adam and Eve. Taking away your head, your face from God. That is what Adam and Eve did. Because at that time, when they were enjoying, when they were in dominion, when they were in fellowship with God, and they have great pleasure, the devil tempted them. Great temptation. And then they yielded. They disobeyed God. They were obedient to Satan. From that very moment, they become servants of Satan. When you hold the rein, you are becoming the servant of who? Satan. They became the servant of Satan. And then they inherited deception of Satan. They inherited deceit. They inherited everything that goes with it. And their soul was corrupted. But the most important thing is that they lost fellowship with God. They were disconnected. So they were dead. Spiritually. They were dead spiritually. That is the problem. And that was why Jesus had to come to the cross to redeem the world and bring back the blessings. That was why he had to bring back the blessings. And And he did it very successfully. But there was something that he said that was said of him. Carrying the sin, because he had to carry the sin of the world, the sin of many generations. He was the only one who was qualified. No other person was qualified because he did not come through the lineage of Adam and Eve. He did not. He was sinless. So he was the most qualified. And when that sin happened to Adam and Eve, it was recorded that all have sinned. All. Except the exception of Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. If all have sinned, then God intervened. I think that verse is Romans 3:23. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. But what God did then after is that he made all to be justified. And if you read that Romans 2:23, he said all, after all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, he now said all are justified. Freely by grace, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. That was the intervention. That was the intervention that brought the world back to, that brought humanity back to God. Except people that don't want to belong. But if you believe that gospel, if you believe the gospel, then you are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And then you can begin to tap into the blessings. You have to consciously tap into the blessings by looking unto Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross was that Jesus Christ rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Because that kingdom, people were under the kingdom since the time of Adam and Eve. Since the time of their transgression. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin. Colossians 1:13. That is the story. The cross is the solution to the present time. So, what do? In any circumstance, in any condition, you have to claim the cross. You have to claim the blessings. Whatever the condition may be, is it that somebody has been destined to die at a particular point? It won't happen because you have to claim the blessings. Because Christ died in your place. Is it that there is problems in somebody's body? You will have to claim the blessing. And the sickness will not stand. How do you claim it? You have to be connected to Christ. You have to look unto him. Look unto him. Look means that you call him. You remember him. You seek him. Amos 5:14. It says, seek the good. Seek him. Seek the good and not evil, then you will live. It is only when you seek God, when you look at his face, and you worship him, and you tell him, about what he did on the cross, you hail him, then that problem will go down. No problem or no challenge. The cross does not respect any problem or any challenge. It is human beings that respect problems. So, we have to claim all the blessings we are talking about through Jesus Christ. There is a certain chapter that is Nahum 1, 7. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M, 1-7. You see, the point of that verse is that the moment you look unto God, unto Christ, your name is recorded. They know you. Your name is recorded. It is certain that when you look out to him, he will care for you specially. God is good. He said, God is good. He's the refuge in the days of trouble. He knows those. He cares for those who trust in him. He knows those who trust in him. NIV says he cares for those who trust in him. He knows. He knows those who do not trust in him. Mind you. But for you that trust in him, then you will have a special care. Let's quickly talk about, you know, again, what we have to quickly clarify is that doing all these things, Christ has, according to Hebrews 12:2 says, look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the cross. Not easy. Those things he accomplished on the cross was not easy. They mocked him, mocking, as in real mocking, so that he will not be put ashamed. They mocked him. They said, King of the Jews, escape if you can escape. They put a crown of thorn on his head. They were spitting at him. They mocked him. The king of the world. They flogged him, as in flogging. So that when you look at the cross, flogging is not your issue. And they crucified him. He himself was looking unto God when he was doing all that. So looking unto God really is a criterion for victory. Jesus Christ himself was looking unto God when he was doing all that. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23. He said, when he was reviled, as in abuse, to show you that he endured the cross, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. No. When he was suffered, he did not threaten. Some people will go from man to man and be saying, see what he has done. See this, see that. No. He did not threaten. Did you see him threaten? He said, God forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He did not threaten. But what did he do? He entrusted himself in the Lord, the God who judges righteously. Because he knew the end. He knew he would sit at the right hand of the throne of God. Look upon the cross. Forget the problem. It's greater. Far greater. When you look upon the cross, it's like you are sitting with Christ at the right hand of the throne of God. Far above principalities and powers. That is the connection. That is the connection to the cross. We can only look at some few instances, some specific cases, if time permits, why we have to do that, when we have to do that. What God did, what happens on the cross, is that when you look onto the cross, you overcome death. I tell you, you overcome death. It's given. Any death that is programmed, whether in the night or in the day, or in the air, or in the water, you overcome it. When you look onto tap the blessings of the cross. You know, the apostles were concerned. They said, even David, before Jesus was born, he was looking on the cross. He was looking unto Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was born. Because to look unto Christ is the will of God. It is written that to look unto Christ is the will of God. He said, it is my will that you look unto Christ. And what will I do? I will give you eternal life. Not just this life. I will give you eternal life. I hope I get where the chapter is. I will give you eternal life. And then what will I do again? I will lift you up on the last day. So, that is why looking unto Jesus Christ is very, very important. It is the will of God. It is the will of God because He will give eternal life. And again, we have to also know that all these things we are talking about, they are your inheritances. They are your inheritances. All those things that happen on the cross. Because it is written in Ephesians 1:18, he said, I pray, Ephesians 1:18, he said, I pray that your eyes, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Very important prayer. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Enlightened to do what? To know the hope to which you are called. And the glorious riches of his inheritance. It is your inheritance. Somebody have inheritance in the bank. He has money, doesn't know. He cannot spend it. You have to spend your inheritance. The hope and the glorious riches. Not just ordinary inheritance. Glorious riches. And the incomparable power to us who believe. The criterion is belief. Believe that you have that inheritance. Believe in Christ. Look unto Him. So, I was saying that the apostles were so concerned. The apostles were so much concerned that even Christ, before Christ was born, David was looking up to him. And they said this. Acts 2:25. But I will be quoting from Psalm 16 because that is where the original place they quoted from. Jesus Christ, David, is not looking at Christ. It's not once in a time. It's not when there is a problem. He said, I have set the Lord before me. He's always at my right hand. I will not what? I will not be shaken. I have set the Lord before me. He's always at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Never. I have set the Lord always before me. Always. I will not be shaken. My heart will be glad, and my tongue will rejoice, and my body will rest in hope. My heart will be glad, and my tongue will rejoice. And my body will rest in hope because he will not abandon me to the realm of death. When you look unto him, he will never abandon you to the realm of death. Neither will he allow his Holy One to see decay. Never. He will not allow his Holy One to see decay. And it's not you that will go, they will go and be checking in prison. That is decay. He doesn't allow that. No, he doesn't allow that. He's sleeping on the bed in the hospital. No, he doesn't allow that. But he will fill you with joy in his presence. He said he will fill me with joy in his presence and eternal pleasures at his right hand. That is the product you get, the package you get when you continually look unto Christ. Connect to the Lord Jesus. I don't like to tell this story. Because it's very connected to deliverance from death. When I look unto Jesus, I hate to tell the story. I reject it. But because of the glory of God. And because of the people of God. I was traveling from a country called Senegal, specifically Dakar. I was coming from Dakar, and I was coming to Lagos. 2005 or 6, thereabout. The plane took off. And we were then 30 minutes into the journey to Lagos. Lagos was just like 2 hours. 30 minutes into the journey. And the aircraft started. See my aunt? She was going like this. She go down. It will go down, go up, go down, go up. There was turbulence not outside alone, but inside the cabin. Inside the cabin. It's just not ordinary turbulence. It was strong. It was like if there was an impending danger. Very serious danger. People were shouting. There was commotion. But there was a particular Senegalese woman behind me, sitting directly behind me. The woman's own, she stood up, almost tearing her dress, then shouting, speaking her language, doing all those. I saw the air hostess coming from where the pilots are. I said, excuse me. She said, she's a friend, but she speaks English very well. I said to her, calm this woman down. He said, because tell him that nothing will happen. You know what he told me? He said, no, I will not be able to tell her that because I don't know if there is no problem. That was when the reality occurred more to me. I shouted, Jesus! I look unto you, son of David! Jesus! There was nobody that will not hear Jesus inside the cabin when I shouted. I look unto you, son of David. Immediately, in the presence of God and his angels, what did he tell me? He said, my light is greater than darkness. He said, my promises shall be fulfilled for you. Immediately, I was no longer shaken. That is why he said, I have said the Lord before me, I will not be shaken. Did my heart not rejoice? My heart rejoiced. He did not abandon me to the realm of death. He did not allow me to see decay. Look unto him. That is what happens. I will say one more. I have more, but I will just say one more, perhaps one more. Before we go, he turned mistakes into miracles. He turned mistakes into miracles when you look unto Christ. There is no mistake. There is no mistake at all. No condemnation at all. No mistake that it cannot turn into miracles. Remember, no condemnation, no punishment that it cannot turn into miracles. The cross specializes in that. You remember when one thief was mocking Christ, but the other was saying, I will see you. Take me to your kingdom as you are going. But Jesus Christ said, surely you will be with me. In paradise. That is how to turn mistakes into miracles. There is a guy that I witnessed. I was in a university there. That guy was put into disciplinary committee. He was made to go out of the university. And then, what did he do? He cheated. Not just small cheating. He really cheated, as in writing an exam for somebody else. University was not allowed that. But what was strange was that he was in year 2, he was writing an exam for somebody in year 4. Then, they talk. And the VC of that place has the final say. He said, let us come to wisdom. He said, if we punish this guy, we may destroy his life. Because he's a talented guy. How can somebody be in year 2 and he write exam for year 4 and he did excellently well? If the guy was already out that time when they are making the decision. They say, call him in. They called the guy in. Why did you do that? He said he was looking for money. He did not have a job. The VC said, human resource manager, a staff, give him a job. And that is the way they left the guy. I called him after. What happened? I called the guy. About 3 weeks, 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, I said, what happened? What did you do? What prayer did you do? Or what did you do? He said, I was praying overnight. I was just calling on Jesus. He said, I did not even talk much. I was doing my piano to exalt Jesus Christ. He's a pianist. He said, from night to morning, he was playing piano to speak about the glory of Christ. He will give compassion to who? To who will give compassion to? That is the way. Looking unto Jesus. That's what he does. Something happened on the cross. It is called replacement. Replacement. The principle of replacement. Or substitution. Even if I don't talk about the rest, replacement covers death. The principle of replacement. It is on the cross that Jesus Christ stands for you and take your position. You remember that Galatians 1:4, he said he gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins so that he rescue us from the evil of the present age. It is at that time he gave himself. That is why it is written that he was bruised for your iniquities. Replacement. So that you will not be bruised. He was wounded for your transgression so that you will not have accident. Replacement. It's replacement. There's no way they can design accident. No evil. Design accident. Call unto Christ. Look unto him. Turn to the cross. He will make a replacement. The chastisement of our sins was upon him. And by his stripes, he healed. He carry our sins. He carry our sickness. Don't think it's your own. Except to replace it. Replace. He replaces poverty. Poverty with riches. For his grace. Christ, for the grace of Jesus Christ. He was rich, but he became poor. So that in his impoverishment, we can have what? Riches. We can have riches. Replacement. Don't talk about poverty. Jesus Christ was rich. They said, Jesus in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with him. He was with Word at the beginning. Through him, all things were made. All that is riches and passion and power. You know, before he went to the cross, he said, my daddy, he said, Father, glorify me in your presence. The way you glorify me when I was with you. Riches. He had riches before he came to the world. And he then became a pauper for our sake. And he went to, and on the cross, he accomplished that. And he then transformed. He took your place. That is the life of a Christian who followed the cross. That is the life of a Christian who go on the cross, who tap to the blessings of the cross. You can never be shaken over every circumstance. Curses are removed. Curses are removed. Whether it is generational curses or it is curses of Moses' curses, Mosaic curses, they are removed. Because he did that on the cross. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has become a curse for us. Curse is he. Everyone hung on the tree. That is what the scripture said. When curses exist, blessings cannot take place. Don't talk of poverty. Talk of how he redeemed you from the curses of poverty. Curses of what? Curses of poverty. Brethren, let's thank the Lord. Stand up, please. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Our time is almost up. We give glory to God. At the center of it all, I don't know how to... Wow.
It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. There is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As we lift a voice and say, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. You are big, bigger than the biggest. You are strong, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest. You are big, bigger than the biggest. You are strong, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest.
Utmost thanks to you, Father, who knew the end from the beginning, and you know you have predestined Christ from the beginning so that he goes to the cross and he saves us. Father, God of heaven, we say to you that we believe what he has done. We believe completely what he has done on the cross. We are claiming it. We are claiming it. For every illness, depart in the mighty name of Jesus. For every sickness, depart in the mighty name of Jesus. From everything about famine or hunger or poverty, depart in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we look unto you. You said, whoever look unto you, you will remember him and you will care for him. We look unto you, Jesus Christ, and we tap into the work that you did on the cross. Take shame away from us. Shake the curse. You said there is now no condemnation for us who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Take shame away from us. Amen. Give us life, abundant life, because you said that what he did on the cross is that the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, set us free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, Father, give us the life. Manifest life. Manifest life unto us, unto our family, unto our children. Life is abundance. Life is splendor. Life is to live in majesty. Father, this is our portion. Without any illness, Father, give us life. In the mighty name of Jesus, let us continually give testimony. I know, because you have said it, you have done great and mighty things here, and we thank you for that. We say thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.